All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Higher Power Tech Podcast, a podcast that connects you to the higher power you deserve. Today is a fantastic episode. You see this gentleman, whichever way you look at the screen or if you're listening to us, he is, you actually just heard from him recently on one of our episodes. We were blessed to meet with him in Zurich and talk to Dr. William Komar, biochemist. We were able to meet with him and talk with him. And after talking, we had such a great conversation. Yes, he's family. If you see the last name, yes, we are family, we are cousins. But after talking and actually, you know, going more in depth with where he is in his career, where he is in his pursuits, we decided to join forces and felt like, you know, two powers are better than one. And he has graciously decided to join us here at Higher Power Tech Podcast to help infuse his knowledge, his wisdom, his energy, his power into helping you pursue a lane as well, whether it's in sciences like him or whether it's the combination of what we're always talking about, technology and science. He wants to, and he's going to bring his unique talents here, not to South Beach, but to here at Higher Power Tech Podcast. And we're happy to have him. So I'm going to give a little applause. We don't have the sound effects and all that stuff. But today's conversation is, last time we talked, he didn't get a chance to go in depth as to his particular skill set and his knowledge base and what he really brings to the table as far as his knowledge. So what I want him to share and what he's going to share today is more the specificity of his PhD. His knowledge, and how we're going to merge this for you all to be able to take your careers, your pursuits in technology and science, as I mentioned before, to that next level. So, William, if you don't mind, sir, let's start with telling people the specificity of your doctorate, what it is that you do within your research and with your knowledge and where you see it going. So let's start with the very first one that I ask you, you know, what's your specificity and where are you with that, sir?
Okay. So I got my PhD in 2018. My PhD is in biochemistry. So specifically for me, what I was researching were the different receptors in the eye and how they natively sit, because our thought and our was to see like how they sit and how we can help with drug targeting. So for people with something like macular degeneration or things like that, we were trying to figure out like how we can help different physicians that are going in, looking at these eyes, how we can help them assess what kind of drug to use and hopefully help, you know, the different pharmaceutical companies actually design drugs that would help better target these different receptors of the eye.
Okay. Beautiful. Targeting these different receptors of the eye. What made you go in this specificity? Because I mean, that's such a unique, you know, like what made you go down this lane? I know we kind of touched on, you know, how you got into your profession, but like what made you, once you got into the actual studies and education, why this?
I'll be honest. My professor, he posed this concept to me and the thought of, you know, going in and looking at these different receptors. And he initially started with a different kind of background. We were interested in how, I think as he put it, it was how cocaine targets different receptors, okay. You know, and
facts.
And so I don't know what it was, but maybe, you know, he didn't want a 20 something year old dealing with a medical grade. So, we stuck with the receptors of the eye because it was some of the work that he had done in his PhD, and then he had also done in his postdoc. And so he had a few papers going on about it. And so we stuck with that and just really dove in to get a better look and better understanding for these types of things. So,
okay.
No doubt. I'll get into it.
Low key, what he was saying, if you want to go to be able to do narcotics in the legal way, I guess go to college, university.
Yeah. You can test drugs. Yeah. I mean, if you want to come up with something, nah, man, I'm good on that, you know? So, we stuck with the receptors of the eye. It's something that, you know, everyone goes, I'd say everyone, pretty certain everyone goes to an eye doctor. You know, there's so many issues. Your vision's constantly failing. You go and get LASIK, and then you have to go again in what, like 6 to 10 years or something like that. So
you know what I think it is. Yeah.
So it's a constant thing, and then that's why we decided to stick with it and really look at these receptors, see how they natively sit, and hope that our research will help down the road with different pharmaceutical companies and things like that.
Okay. We're going to touch on that later in other episodes, of course, because this pharmaceuticals, healthcare is reforming in such a massive way. These are the two major industries that they're talking about are going to be disrupted within the next 16, 18 months. How transportation, service, hospitality was interrupted, Airbnb, Uber, all that. Obviously, we already know what Amazon did in interrupting, the music industry and all that different stuff. But healthcare and pharmaceuticals are the next big major industries that are through technology, through the sciences that PhDs like you have are doing, research you're doing. You're getting ready to unfold a new era of deliverability for the average person, right? But let me ask you this. So the eye, you worked on the eyes, you worked on, the biomolecular aspects of the eye. Are you still currently doing that type of research now with your PhD, or are you in a different part of the field now, or usage of your skill set?
No, so I haven't done any true research in a while now. So I stepped away from research in order to, get back into not that you can't do research or lab work with research, but I ended up going into, teaching for a while as a professor. And then I went into a lab and another lab. So my thought was I wanted to be around the lab, but for me, I wanted to take on more of a managerial type role. So instead of just doing a lot of research on my own and reporting out to someone, I wanted to step out from the lab and then take on more responsibility of running a complete lab and portions like that. So I stepped away from the research bit now.
Okay. And so when you step away from the research, because you have to unfortunately talk to us because I'm layman. I don't understand. When you say you stepped away from the research, now you're in a lab. What are you doing now within the lab that's say different, but same, obviously, with your particular, PhD? So what's the differences with that, if you want me to ask?
Having the research background that I have, it's allowed me to work with a lot of different instrumentation. And so with that, with stepping into a lab and not being in a research role, I'm at the point now where I'm trying to help set up and run these corporate type laboratories as if, or startup laboratories as if it's a fully functioning corporate lab. So my current work right now is working with a laboratory. It's a startup lab, and getting them going in order to be a fully functioning, just corporate type lab. So I've worked in a corporate lab before where everything was just, it was set, it was done, it was made for you, right? And then you just ran it according to what they had. And then I'm in a point where I'm setting up a lab like this now in order to run fully functioning. And then, other thoughts and things going on that maybe one day just get my own thing going. But we'll see about that.
Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. So when you're running other labs, where do you see the intersection? I know you see it, but if you can walk people through the intersection of science and, research and lab work and technology, how do these two mesh in a way where you see we can help people take a degree, say, in data science or machine learning, informatics, bioinformatics, right? How do you see these tech and science merging, and how are you using them as the lab practitioner now in the PhD that you are?
So there's a ton of overlap between science and technology, obviously, right? So science isn't just done in a dark room with a Bunsen burner, you know, and like a pestle and mortar anymore. Like, so there's a lot of technology that plays a huge role in what people are able to accomplish and see. You know, there's all these different 3D modelings and renderings that you can do on websites like Xpayzi and things like that. So you can see, you know, 3D DNA, like, you know, helix, you know, so things like that. There's tons and tons and tons of different applications that require machine learning, you know, in the process right now with biotechnology, which is the field that technically I'm working in now is biotech. It's like a nice conjunction of these two, the combining of science and technology, and you're doing a lot of machine learning to do predictive style. So people that are working in the cancer field and they're trying to look at different cancers and see like how, you know, they may affect this or how you can drug target that. It's using a lot of machine learning because you don't have the time to sit, you know, at, you know, one person in a room and take a look at this cancer. And then I'll take a look at this so much. So if you can do a big profiling of it, right? And then you can run, you know, a few thousand different samples through at the same time in order to keep up, it'll help with a predictive type. Okay, I recommend this, I recommend that. And so you can see like the nice merging of science and technology. It's actually it's a pretty beautiful thing, man.
Yeah, right. It's a pretty beautiful collage of how it all is coming together, especially this day and age, seamlessly with AI getting so much more advanced with research and these tools that are coming out, like you said. And I think it's dope that you willfully accept, like you said, it's no longer a Bunsen burner, right? Or just, you know, just that, right? Type thing you said. Like, it's now so many 3D modeling and all this, which is huge. So I think the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, he and I decided we wanted to collab and bring you more content together is because, honestly, this is where things are going. You know, science and technology are literally, in my mind, one. You can correct me right if I'm wrong. You're the PhD. I'm more of the outside person looking in from just managing a staffing firm and IT professionals. But from the knowledge that I have to obtain and the information I have to gather in order to, you know, present to a, you know, a pharmaceutical company that I'm trying to staff for, or a, you know, healthcare company I'm trying to staff for their, you know, tech roles, we have to understand the gamut of where they're going, right? In the next, you know, 5 to 10, 20 years, right? And the merger of, like we're saying, the unique sciences as well as the technology, it's really all becoming one. And the reason why we have this platform too is because we want people to understand that there's no need to be afraid of the future that is currently upon us, right? It's about having an awareness of where can you gain knowledge for yourself in certain skill sets that you may have expertise that you're maybe not maybe aware of, right? So I'm saying that to say, and I want you to jump in here, Doc, and how would you talk to someone who, let's just say, because let's be real, everybody, there's a lot of people, say between 32 and 52, who they may have went to college for a little bit, may have dropped out, you know, a few credits shy of graduation. They were, you know, I don't know, they were getting their bachelor's, you know, degree. If they wanted to get involved now to go back to school and get a education that would suit them for what the current business and, you know, industries are currently going into, what would you tell them from your position or from a science standpoint? How could they kind of get started, would you say, to get going, to maybe get down the lane in the next 5 to 10 years to where you are?
So, I mean, if you're talking about education-wise, I would tell them if you're going to go back to school, the big thing that I would look into is studying biotech. Like, it gives you a nice mixture. You know, when I went to school, I studied biochemistry. I initially was going to go for just biology, right? Okay. I was going to pre-med with, you know, biologist. And someone's like, well, if you take like two extra chemistry courses, right, you then become a biochemist, which is a nice mixture of biology and chemistry. So I was like, oh, that sounds great. And so now it's the same thing going where if you are interested in technology and you have a passion for, you know, the biologies, you can still include chemistry in that. But so biology and chemistry, the sciences, and you want a nice mixture, the thing to do is to look into biotech. So I would go study some biotech. You know, you'll have one or two classes on some coding, probably, you know, a little ones and zeros. I know it's more involved than that, but that's all I can remember from. It's like a semester of C++, so it's like it's old, right? But yeah, so you know, they'll put you in some coding, they'll get you in some 3D modeling type deals. You'll study biology at like its basis. You know, you may not go too far into it. But it's enough that you'll have a solid base for both. And then from there, you know, like with schooling, you just continue to learn if you have time. If you're going right into workforce, there are other positions that kind of cater towards starting, you know, the initial, like, I would like to see what biology and technology has for
me. Right.
So you could, you could find those different types of positions as well.
Awesome. Thank you for that. So, yes, and it's awesome you talk about languages, because we've talked about in previous episodes, you know, that certifications can be had and can be acquired to help you getting a hacker understanding. And hacking, all hacking is a language of computing. So, like he said, zeros and ones. So, like he was talking, C++, Python, JavaScript, all these things are hacking languages, coding languages that you can learn in order to help you facilitate your position and growth within the IT, or like he's saying, biotech, you know, lanes. So if you already have started with those language skills and you have, you know, your Python or C++, Java, whatever it may be, you can, your SQL and all that stuff, it might be behoove you if you want to get into, you know, now science classes or courses, to help you, you already have the coding understanding and language skills available to you. It would be an actual easy merger than you may think. And so this is why we're bringing the conversation to you. So therefore, because a lot of times, you know how it is, Doc, people will, you know, look at something and it's like, well, I'm not a doctor, I'm not him, right? Or, you know, I'm not, you know, the gentleman, you know, me speaking, you know, running a, you know, multi-million dollar staffing firm. I can't do that because I'm not there, right? And they don't recognize we had to go through our own processes to get to where we are. You know what I'm saying? And we had to work each step, but we had to ask questions, be told, and then go take action on what we were told to do. And that's why he's giving you, you know, a strategy of how to approach it if it's something that you're interested in and you would like to gain knowledge in biotechnology, which, and like he said, it's guys, go ahead. If you want to say, I'm sorry.
No. I had a cough. Go.
Oh, yeah, there you go. So if what you have to understand is biotech now is huge. You know, we're talking about, you know, expanding lifespan now. There, you know, so many different tools and resources are being built out that require the skill sets and the knowledge like, you know, Doc has. And then it requires, too, the knowledge and skill sets that are going to continue to evolve through language that's going to be developed, through programming, through computing. Right. So this would be a very good lane to get involved in if you're looking for something that would give you stability and longevity and career growth over the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years of your working life, okay? No matter where you might be on your journey of a professional person at this particular point, all right, within your career. So I'm glad to hear, and this is why, again, we're bringing, you know, we're happy to have him, and he's allowed himself to be a part of our Higher Power Tech family. Doc, let's do this real quick before we wrap up here. Let's just tell people where you see your field going and what you want those who are intrigued and are interested potentially in getting into what you do, what you want them to be aware of and what to be excited for, and what's coming down the pike that you see.
So right now, biotech is huge. And I say right now, not that biotech's gone anywhere. So let me correct that. For the foreseeable future,
right,
biotech is where it's at, man. Honestly, it's a beautiful, like I said already, it's a beautiful merger of the two, and you get so much, you know, from it. You can look into like the different modeling. You can look into like future type, like how can this affect us? How can I go about here? So you're using your actual brain, right, to process these different portions that you're seeing, and then you're getting like a predictive type. And honestly, it's not going anywhere. It's going to be around for a really long time, unless we figure out the science where I can go like this and take stuff out of people's body without,
how you is
know.
That?
This is my
like Voldemort. It's like Voldemort something.
Open a portal, pop out the cancer portions, and just like, you know, throw it in biohaz, right? So, yeah, biotech is it. And I missed your, what are your other two questions? I'm sorry, man. I got excited about biotech.
No. That's exactly what I want. And then where you see it going and what you want people to be excited about. You kind of already addressed it, but just where you see it going as far as industries that you may be aware of or what you're in, you know, where do you see it going?
I think because of the mixture of, you know, allowing technology into the scientific field, I actually think it offers people the opportunity to learn a lot more about, you know, certain things, circumstances in chemistry. So before, everything that was considered scientific or you know, chemistry seemed like kind of under lock and key, right? So yeah. You would see one guy with a PhD in chemistry telling everyone like, okay, this is it. And so everyone just accepts it, right? And then you would see those people that are like, well, I looked up online something, and it's like, well, unfortunately, you also looked up like something out of a Cracker Jack, like, you know, website. So it's two extremes. Yeah. And so the good thing about biotech is because the mixture with technology and you're seeing like actual, like the real chemistry behind portions and the science that's involved with it, it offers the opportunity for people to actually become a bit more educated and a bit more understandable of the actual happen circumstances in like what's going on and what's being developed. So it's exciting to me because I'm hoping that, you know, more people actually look into it and use like credible sources to information. That's very important. But use these credible sources and, you know, do your research and find out a little bit more about things. And so, yeah, sure, you don't have to blindly follow, but you might understand why a certain thing was said.
Right.
Do it this. Now you have an actual understanding of what's going on.
What's your, that being said, what's your feeling on AI agents that are being developed? Do you feel like that will help push the cause of getting people more interested, or do you feel like it's going to hurt people getting involved, or it's a mixture of the two? What do you feel like?
Man, what Uncle, I feel like Spider-Man. I'm just sick of this Marvel theme. With great power comes great responsibility, right? Like you can type in whatever you want in these AI servers and they'll spit out a bunch of information. And if you take that wholeheartedly and just accept it, then you'll be lost, right? So you still need to have the wherewithal to know like, okay, this isn't necessarily it. And I can change this maybe or fix this up a little bit. So it's, I see it both helping and potentially hurting. But for the people that take the time to actually think through and process what's being, you know, written up for them or spat back at them after typing in whatever prompt they did on the different AI servers, when they take the time to go through and actually process it and put things together, I think it can help, and it should help more than it could hurt. But we are going to see.
Right. I think like anything else, there's always that learning curve, you know, of any new adoption of any new tool, any new, you know, technology, it's a learning curve, right? And I totally agree with you, because the initial thing is the ease of access to knowledge and information. And again, because it's ease of access, you're now hoping that the seeker is someone that is going to not just take it for face value, but be willing to take it as an intro to how to begin on the path of the knowledge they're trying to pursue, right? But exactly. That's just the nature of the beast that will always be is for humanity, where that now becomes the seeker or the person's responsibility to be able to do that. And you're hoping that one is evolved well enough to understand that, hey, just because you said go this route, you know, it should be easy for me, doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Maybe I might need to look down after I go down a few steps. I might need to take a right, or I might need to take a left. And, you know, and taking that right or left, I might see, need to look around the corner and then come back, you know. So it's always that process, right? And I think if I'm looking at a glass half full or half empty, I'm going to look at it as the glass being half full with the AI agents that are coming, you know, ChatGPT that's already here. You were a professor, so you understand that you had the great papers, and kids may have been, you know, trying to jump in and use, you know, chat. You'd be like, I did the work. And you're looking at this like, man,
what do you think like, you're talking to? God, Tom, you did not write that. All right. Yeah, right. You do not. I felt like that's no. Come on, man. I'm sitting here teaching chemistry. Like, you clearly do not know this portion. You're not that far advanced, man. So, right. GPT, thank you for writing this for me. And now you need to scale it back, because right. That is any of like, your.
I know, bro. I know you know firsthand. So, but yeah. You know, not to. I hope it hasn't skewed you in the thought that, you know, and I know it hasn't, because you are a very level and forward thinking person. I just like for people to understand, like you said, there's going to be the growth and the pain of growth, right? That's why they call it growing pain. We have to grow into the knowledge of how to use this equipment, this technology, these tools. There's going to be bad users. There's going to be people, even those who don't intentionally mean to use it bad. Like we said, it's just the fact that they were looking up some research. They needed to answer quick. They took it for face value. They didn't do the proper, you know, follow up because they're just in a rush. They didn't mean to. And they, you know, spewed out information that was not correct. Right. So we have to work through that fact. Right. But I believe by, just like anything else, it's going to eventually even itself back out, right? And I believe the AI agents, like you said, that will be developed, all these things that we're learning to say, okay, the more knowledge they get, the more dark data and the data that we are able to sift through for them and start to, you know, properly position it within these agents, right? Where it can be a lot more streamlined, a lot more clear. It will eventually get better. Right. But it's always like anything else. It gets a little worse before it gets better. Right. But I think once it gets better and on that path, it will help, like you said, spark interest into the youth, spark interest into those who might want to know about the sciences and learn and really go deeper, because they're now being exposed to something a lot more powerful, I think, quicker. Like you said, it's not just one person who's the liaison or the professional who understands it, right? Or the doctor who understands it. And now you have, I don't want to say it, from my perspective, I'm looking at it like you have a lot of Neil deGrasse Tyson. You have a lot of Neil deGrasse Tysons that are going to be coming down the pike to help us, because he made science fun, right? He's one of the few that really made it and makes it still to this day so intriguing to listen to the nuances of life, biochemistry, the solar system, whatever, right? I think we'll have more like him due to the fact of the agents, because of what they're able to bring and pull up a hologram, pull up a 3D picture of, like you said, the Heliflex. What is it? The Helo? What is it?
DNA Helix.
It's DNA Helix. You can pull it out, right? And a kid can now, 8 years old, right? Instead of looking at a piece of paper, you know, of a colored on a piece of paper, they can actually like walk through it and point at the different, you know what I'm saying? And that brings out a different feeling of wanting to learn and grow. What would you say to that?
Yeah, man. I say it reminds me of the movie with what's it called? Minority Report, right? Where they were doing like predictive, and he's sorting through. Like, I hope it gets to that. You know what I'm saying? I think it'd be super dope if I'm just like, oh, let me look through this thing real quick and like filter this out and spin it around. So, yeah. I think it's, you know, it's obviously going to be exciting. And the more that this, you know, that this field develops, the more, you know, the more that we see, the more power that we'll have, you know, at our fingertips. But yeah, again, treat it wisely, you know, like be smart with it and really, really apply ourselves. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be great, man. I think more professionals like you, more doctors like you who come out and let me just say this, I'm so honored and appreciative that you decided to be a part of the team. I believe you have a deliverability even right now in these last, you know, two episodes. That if you hadn't seen the previous episode, ladies and gentlemen, go back and watch it, where he talks about his background. But you have a deliverability where I think you make it easy for one to want to, you know, listen to you and then engage. So I'm excited because I believe the more conversations we have like this, the more we'll get people like us, right? Which is important. But definitely people like us involved in this field and these fields, because we need this. We need this representation. We need to know that it's doable. We need to know that, like you said in the last episode, you know, with your, you know, your braids, and you're like, I can do this. I can be, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, like, and then you. Right. Yeah. Right. And but now you are it. And I think now that you are it, it's like, okay, we need to show that other young, you know, male, that other young female, you know, in Kenya or in, you know, Tupelo, Mississippi, or in, you know, Seattle, you know, or Wisconsin, who's just a eighth grader or ninth grader, you know what I'm saying? Or even, shoot, let's just be honest, the, like I said, the 32-year-old who's been working a certain job for so long but wants to pivot into something new. You know, it looks like us, right? And they live in a one-bedroom apartment over in Tennessee, right? And they're like, I want to do something different, and I know I can be more than just this. But they don't see it, and they're not having these conversations. So I want us to bring these conversations to them so they can understand, yeah, if you want to be a machine learner, dark data scientist, you know, front-end full stack, you can do it. If you want to be a biochemist, if you want to be, you know, a researcher, a lab technician, or, you know, a professorial college, you know, at a university, a major university, you can do it. You know what I'm saying? But again, how? What's the process? What's the work? And then how do you work through your holistic approach to develop you in a sense where you have the tools necessary when it gets rough? Not when it's easy, when it gets rough, because you talked about your journey.
Go ahead. It will get rough at some point. It's okay, though.
It's right. Okay. Right. Yeah. You talked about it eloquently in our first episode together, your journey, but how you stuck to it, you know, how you were homeless at one point, but you stuck with it. You still worked. You still went to school. You still did the research. You still put out the applications, you know, Kent not accepting you. How are you not going to accept me, right?
Yeah. Frank Bet. I was kidding.
In your face. But ladies and gentlemen, again, I go back to, this is why we bring this to you, because it's not just, oh, he's done it or I'm doing it. You know, he's talking to you right now from his lovely home in Zurich, Switzerland, you know, at the base of the Swiss Alps mountains, and that with his beautiful family. I'm speaking to you right now, my present situation, and we're both from Cleveland, Ohio. I'm sitting to you right now on my balcony, condo right here in Marbella, Spain. And I don't know if you see the backdrop, but, you know, beach and mountaintops, right? So, but just because we're both growing in our pursuits and we're so-called made it in some people's eyes and still working on making it, we still want to make sure we bring to you how the process works so you can do this, so you can be where you want to be. And even when we're in these positions, it's still a grind to keep this going, right? But we want to be honest with you and transparent with you to let you know how to do it and how to get it moving. So whether it's in sciences, whether it's in technology, it's all fucking doable. You just got to fucking do it. Okay. So come join us on this journey. Doc, is there anything you want to leave with before we hit him with another episode later on?
Well, I got nothing. I feel like y'all are great people. Thank y'all for tuning in and listening. And I just hope, you know, really just take from this, understand that there's a lot that's available at your fingertips. You know, but just don't blindly follow everything that's given to you, right? Like, ask some questions, be okay with understanding different things. A lot of people get, you know, this one thought or concept in their head, and then that's it. and they refuse to listen to any other like word about it. So the fun part is not only knowing that there's this technology, but also being able to understand that, you know, with this comes a bit more of understanding and you know, you really need to process it. And so be open to hearing these other portions so you can put together a full picture and not just this one portion that's given to you.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that, brother. Thank you. And I'm just going to real quick piggyback on that because I think that's a very important part. What we want you guys to think about, like he said, it's never just for face value. Nothing is necessary for face value. And when you get into this world, and you start seeing more of it and you start educating yourself, getting more knowledge, you recognize, oh, that's just a seed to let me know there's more that I can, you know, water and grow into and learn from. And I want you all to think of this when we bring you this information, when we bring you these topics and these specificities, because we're going to get more in depth. There's a lot more episodes coming. So we're going to get into in depth about specificity within his skill set, within what we're doing with our staffing teams and positions we're placing. But I want you to think broader from the standpoint. The reason why I'm not so worried about you all and people getting so complacent with just taking a ChatGPT for face value, or if you're using Will.i.am's FYI app, you know, his ChatGPT version of his app, or whatever you might be using, Copilot, whatever you're using. Well, what William and I are going to bring to you is the understanding of how to actually use these tools as the tools that they're meant for you to grow yourself, not to be entertained or to use them as they are the power to be and they're the end all. So, for example, let me give you, if I'm not being clear, I have an 18-year-old daughter, and as she was growing up in high school, you had the babies, so you're going to be facing your own social media.
I got a while to go.
Right. So anyway, Uncle Comar has that over here for you on that end with them. I got your back, but you're doing great. But so when my daughter was, though, because she was in the age, in the era of, you know, TikTok taking off, right? Instagram was already on its third or fourth generation. So, you know, but she was in the social media world, right? So her sophomore year, you know, she had, I think at the time, like 8,000 followers on TikTok, and on Instagram, maybe about 2,000 or 3,000 followers. And all she was doing was just doing what most kids do and most people do, which is post pictures and just having a good time, whatever her thing was. Right. Yeah. I sat down with her and I said, look, you can either use this as a form of escape and just doing what everybody uses it for, which is just general purpose stuff, or you can create a business off of it. You can look at your insights and go on your back end. You can say, okay, look, she was a writer and she wrote books and she wrote fiction books. So I was like, you can actually sell to your audience your fiction books once you create them, you know, create a little PDF, sell many versions of them. You know, you can do like an intro and you can sell it. Now what you're doing is you're using the tool to benefit and better yourself, but also to reach others because she wrote great stories. She wrote great, you know, content that will allow people to be inspired and young women to be inspired, right? So when I opened her mind to that, going into her junior year, she started, you know, she put together her little PayPal, she put together a little account, connected to the back end, create a little a WordPress website, and she had her own book selling company online, right? Yeah. And I was like, this is what I'm talking about. And then she grew from 8,000 to 4,000 on TikTok, or 14,000, excuse me, on TikTok, and she was selling some units, right? Never got too big, but at least she started seeing how she could create an avenue where she could leverage the tool for her and not just let the tool be a thing that, hey, I got pictures up, I'm posting, I'm looking at memes and all this other stuff, dance videos and all this other stuff. Not to say that it doesn't have its place for relaxation, but it shouldn't be the thing that if you have a smartphone, you have a tool where you can make money and you can run businesses off your phone, because that's what I was doing at the time. It should be a thing where, okay, let me leverage this tool to empower myself, not so much let it run my life. And so that's why I want you all to think bigger. And what, you know, Dr. Comar is talking about, we want you to think bigger. Don't just look at it for face value. Don't just go into these things and say, hey, well, ChatGPT can answer this for me. It can give me the research for me. My insurance company can give me the research for it. Great. But maybe you can start your own insurance company by leveraging the resources and the knowledge that AI tool has. Right. Maybe you're an accountant. Maybe you are. And you've been struggling. You've been working for a branch or another firm and you want to start your own. Well, use that tool to research how to start your own. right? And then how to build your own and structure your own in your day to day. Think bigger. Don't just think so myopic.
Yes, sir.
And that's what you were kind of saying, right?
That is it. That is it, man.
Cool. So guys, thank you for joining us. Like, subscribe, comment. We're going to come back with you with more detail and specificity, like I said, on, you know, science, IT, how to, you know, get into positions, what you're looking to do. If you're currently out of work, what we did in our down times, that was tough. Also too, we'll walk you through processes that helped us and that are helping us in certain levels. We want you to grow with us. All right. But the only way for that to happen, you have to like, you have to comment, you have to talk to us. Tell us what you want us to talk about, what research you want to know about, what, you know, this is Doc. He knows what to do. All right. So ask us. We're here for you. Okay. So thank you. We appreciate you. And we will see you on the next episode. All right. See you guys soon.